Hello, and welcome to Coach Training Alliance and our conversation about the role of coaching in 2014 planning. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. At the end of the presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions, and instructions will be given at that time. And now, I would like to introduce you to your presenter for today's call, Chris Osborne, CEO of Coach Training Alliance and trained mentor coach. Chris, please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome everybody, and I know in some places it's the afternoon. Just in terms of background, I hope you're all digging out and ready to jump into 2014. And this is a timely topic that came as a result of some questions we had from some of our graduates around, I think, what were organizations turning to them and asking for more explicit roles in the strategic planning of an organization and their roles as coach. And so CTA thought we'd take some time this morning and try and address some of the specific questions that were asked and provide some context and perspective and maybe even a little opinion around the role of coaches in strategic planning for organizations in 14. Obviously, coaching is getting more following, discussed more than ever in the context of organizational leadership and planning. And as a result, we think it's only fair that we talk a little bit about the role of a coach in that exercise. You know, stepping back for a minute, you know, let's just talk about the role of coaching in actually the creation of a strategic plan. And maybe more importantly, maybe identify some of the opportunities of a coach and also some of the obstacles and how we might address the obstacles or challenges that come forward in working through planning as a coach. You know, coaching and planning in plan creation really offers the team and the organization a great, healthy way to collect and explore alternative perspectives and bring forward challenges in a solution-oriented way for the organization. It's really that facilitator role of a pathway of creation and exploration. It's specifically not one of decisioning. That's to say, you know, the coach in this context, just like in all contexts, is not one to provide decisions or specific judgments of what's right or wrong, but instead is there to facilitate the client, or in this case, the organization's own conclusions around what is correct and what's the right path, and then endorse those and create a context for action around those. So coach planning, just like we see in other areas of the organization, can really increase the engagement, ownership, and understanding of a strategic plan for an organization. It really offers the opportunity not only to explore a plan and actually understand the meaning of the words on the page, but contextualize that plan, meaning really figure out for the various team members in the room what that plan means in terms of, you know, their journey with respect to the organization. And one of the things we like to draw analogy to is that of intention. You know, we talk a lot about intention in coaching. And really, when you think about it, the company's mission and vision is really the intention of the organization. It's much akin to an individual's own intention. And so what we're looking to do with respect to strategic planning is move an intention into something that's actionable and achievable and that has an ability to create a framework for accountability around it. You know, the coach really takes those steps of exploring the intention and to better define the intention so that it allows for that first step of the organization. That is to understand that planning is typically drawing or requiring some sort of change out of an organization. It's saying we used to do X and now we're going to do Y, or we do X this way and now we're going to do X the following way. And as a result of that planning, the coach ought to be thinking not only in terms of what is that first step, but perhaps more importantly, in terms of communication and long-term performance, what sort of future stepping is going to be required as a part of the pathway that's being painted for the team here? And specifically, what sort of framework, what sort of what's by when need to be put in front of the team and understood collectively to ensure that a plan is achieved? Again, I can only emphasize, I guess I could emphasize it all the time, but I only emphasize it a few times here today on the call, is that coaching really needs to be complementary to the decisioning component in plan formation. That is to say that the leader that really is ultimately accountable for deciding what a plan needs to be, you know, the endorser and ultimately the person that's held accountable by whatever the governing body of that organization is for plan execution, needs to be the person who fundamentally endorses and decides that this is the right plan and this is the right direction of the organization. As a result, I'd really caution you from having that individual or that group of individuals be the folks that are facilitating the strategic planning process. That's why an independent facilitator or coach oftentimes can play a really critical role. I think it's also fair to say it's pretty important at the front end of strategic planning for folks to understand that and to really call it out early on in the process that, hey, Susan over in the left chair, Susan is ultimately accountable to the board for this plan. We're going to work collectively to build the best plan possible, but Susan is ultimately the decision maker with respect to yes or no on the plan. That doesn't necessarily minimize or take away any of the importance with respect to individuals contributing or questioning or even exploring a plan. It just helps identify for the group the difference between accountable and a part of the team. When we talk about coaching and planning itself, you know, really what we're talking about is how do we use coaching processes or structures to really make a plan make sense, not just for ourselves as a coach, but more importantly for the client, that being the organization. And not just necessarily the senior leadership of an organization, but the organization from top to bottom. You know, I think what we need to do is we need to be really conscious that oftentimes when we come forward with a structured process of planning, we need to be careful not to, what we term in coaching, hijack the agenda. You know, ultimately, if you do that, you end up with a really pretty plan in a box. You know, it'll look great, but it'll really lack the authenticity, the ownership, and therefore the accountability and any sort of real application to the client in this case. You know, I liken it to making cookies. You know, you can have a fantastic cookie maker who's produces gorgeous chocolate chip cookies, and if all you do is follow their recipe, you may end up with a good cookie, but you're not going to have a whole team that can make cookies, and fundamentally, you're not going to have anything that's distinct or authentic. You know, like one-on-one coaching, the coach in this case really needs to be thinking about controlling the flow of the session, gathering and stimulating the sharing of useful data, alternative perspectives as an example. The coach or facilitator develops and encourages a rapport within the group. So really needs to work to bring out various opinions and understanding that various people may have different types of communication patterns, different ways to share their opinions, and different time requirements to think and process alternatives. You're really looking to kind of unlock the mind and stimulate the sharing of insight. You know, organizations typically have enormous amounts of human capital sitting in a room for these planning processes. And as a coach, we need to step back and think about all this raw material and garnering as much of it on the table as we possibly can. You know, the other thing to think about is, are we really unlocking the incumbent ideas and answers in the room? Again, looking at the human capital, you know, oftentimes I like to think and kind of at breaks, take an inventory and say, you know, did I really feel like I heard from everyone in the room? And are there folks who I think might have something to offer just by the looks on their faces, not bringing it forward? Again, discussing how decisioning is going to be made up front is pretty important. It allows people to feel like they're in a place of understood trust. In a place that's safe, understanding that this exercise of exploration isn't necessarily always about decisioning. It's about looking at alternatives, and that decisioning processes can, in fact, be different from specific planning exploration processes. One of the things that's easy as coaches to do is really apply the rules of coaching to that of planning. You know, avoid judgment, speak with respect but authentically. Use the various forms of coaching questions, the probing question to draw out data, the leading question to close answers if something requires, you know, a fence around it or needs to be brought to a close. Strategic questions that really create action. Challenging questions that dislodge attachment. People that are clinging to the old or one single way of doing it. And finally, inquiry, which really begs future action out of the group. You know, once a plan has gone through that process, as critical as its formation and maybe perhaps even more critical to its execution, is how do you communicate those plans down throughout an organization? And at CTA, we talk a lot about the waterfall effect. And the waterfall effect is the recognition, in the context of leadership, that what starts as a small stream finds its way all the way down various paths in different contexts and is absorbed and added to and fundamentally creates some form or function very different than its original formation, but much more powerful. So as a result, at each step along the way, you know, the emphasis needs to be on context, the context of how the plan applies to the various parts of the organization. Context, context, context. You can't say the word enough. And really within it, there are three realities we need to try and tie to. You know, we need to, when we're developing context for various parts of the organization, tie the plan to where we've been as an organization, where we are now as an organization, and where we are going. That sense the broader, more global context or team context for a plan. Then finally, drilling further down, ask ourselves, what does this plan mean for my team? And specifically, what is my role as leader or manager with respect to executing this plan? Same question could be asked for any number of team members. And what this does is it attaches the plan foundationally to the context of expectations, which really brings us to why managers or how managers can use coaching throughout the year as a part of a 2014 strategic plan. You know, really, I encourage managers to step back for a moment in the beginning of any of these conversations and revisit the big, you know, the mission, vision, values, and ask the individual team members how they see their role relating to those mission, vision, values, and use the plan as a way to reemphasize the importance of the mission and vision and contextualize the role of the individual or group of individuals you're talking to that mission, vision, values. Again, almost in each and every conversation, it's a critical thing to do. You know, studies show that somebody needs to hear and see that 7 to 10 times in order for that mission and vision to become ingrained. And so we can't, as managers, disregard the importance of having those conversations. And not only that, these conversations really open up a great framework for having a fantastic coaching conversation. You know, you can start to talk to the initiatives that the strategic plans are laying out and ask very specifically up front, what impact do you see for the team as a part of these initiatives or these planning components? And then as the year progresses, what impact are you seeing for the team? And then as the year again progresses, you move away from the impact to talking about the achievements. You know, what accountabilities do you perceive required for the team as a part of this plan? How are we doing with respect to achieving those accountabilities? What do you need to be successful in attaining these things that we've discussed? And what accountabilities make sense to revisit and when? You know, those are the critical coaching conversations. We've got some material we would certainly share after the call to help folks have a better understanding of what we're talking about in terms of what specifically you ask when you're starting a conversation and what not to, and kind of some of the do's and don'ts of coaching around strategic plans. I think, you know, again, more critically is to understand that plans aren't things that are meant to be kind of pretty on the page and then put in a box for a year. And then we come bring them back out at the end of the year to see how we did. One of the great tools that I recommend that I see is balanced scorecards used by organizations. And balanced scorecards provide great coaching documents, red, yellow, green, you know, goal measurement. It really allows those accountabilities to be periodically checked and see how we're doing. And it really offers that red, yellow, green really offers our team members a good insight on an individual as well as collective basis as to how the organization is doing relative to the plan. You know, there are a host of other tools, but I think with respect to the importance of a planning document, the idea that it's a living document, just like we're living active managers in the human capital of our organization, I think the strategic plans are a critical tool of that. And oftentimes it's easy in the chaos of day-to-day tyranny of the urgent in organizational work to forget how critical that plan is for setting the context of the work. And I think as coaches, we need to start with ourselves and oftentimes go through our own planning or find our own coach around a strategic plan and how it applies to us and set our own benchmarks and hold ourselves accountable. Makes it a lot easier to have those conversations with others. It also, obviously, as a coach, allows us to draw a lot of analogy when you're able to relate that specifically and individually back to folks with respect to the use. So with that background and a little bit of perspective and opinion, I'd love to open it up to questions. And if I know some folks are online. If you want to go ahead and email questions to Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, at coachtrainingalliance.com, we'll answer them now live. Or if they come to you later, feel free to go ahead and share those, and we'll get you answers as well. And as I mentioned, for those of you that attended the call this morning, we've got some tools, a very simple one-page kind of reminder guideline that we'll be providing you here today at the end of the call.
Right. In a moment, I will be taking this conference out of a presentation mode and into an interactive mode. If you would like to keep your line muted, you can use the mute feature on your phone, or you can press *6, and that will mute your line. If you would like to ask a question, *6 will unmute your line, and you'll be able to ask that to the open forum. While people are sort of working with their phones, I want to remind everyone that Coach Training Alliance offers training and development for those that are in a leadership position and want to develop their coaching capabilities. That is our Human Capital Coaching and Co-Creative Leadership courses. The next class for Human Capital Coaching begins February 3rd. Additional information about that course, as well as others, are listed on our website, which is www.coachtrainingalliance.com. And at the end of this call, you'll receive links to the READ broadcast. We encourage you to share that information, as well as tools that Chris mentioned during the presentation, and information about the Human Capital Coaching class, if you would like more about that. All right, so I'm going to take us into a conversation mode, and again, mute your lines using *6. I do have one call question that has been submitted via email, Chris. It is from Teresa. And Teresa asks, we do not have coaches at our company. My department received goals for 2014, what is the best way for me to support my team to stay on track with that plan? And then she just has in parentheses, group meeting, individual meeting with each manager, and then just a bunch of question marks. So, Chris, if you could field that call, please.
Sure. Great question. I think the short answer is any discipline beats no discipline. So if you want to handle group meetings or one-on-one meetings, either can be a great way to facilitate positive conversations around a plan. I think as we train our coaches to do, one of the first and most important pieces of an important support program for employees using coaching skills is to establish a structured framework so that they know on a regular basis it's there. And so maybe it's a quarterly group meeting with a plan review, following kind of some of the things I talked about earlier in the call around how to benchmark against how we're doing against the plan, asking those questions about what it means relative to our past, what it means relative to where we are today, and what it means relative to our future, and then finally follow up with kind of action items and checking in as to how people are doing. These meetings are not a place to be giving specific feedback on performance. It's more a place to check in. You don't want people feeling that these are meetings that are going to involve a lot of judgment or being held to task. Not that that isn't a role for the manager or supervisor. It's a very important role for the manager or supervisor, but it's one that's separate and apart from coaching. I think the individual meetings are great. I think those are things that can be done, again, on a scheduled basis. Also, in terms of what one of our mentor coaches called coaching on the fly. The critical thing with respect to that is if you're going to do it on the fly or just by happenstance, make sure those moments that you step into the role of coaching around a strategic plan, you specifically let folks know you are going to be working on coaching. Now, coaching is a distinct set of skills, and Holly was kind enough to give us a little plug on the front end with respect to some of the programs we have training around that. But, you know, as we train around our simple coaching model, it is a It's both art and science. It's a discipline that I think is quite easy for folks to begin to pick up and understand. Takes some work to master. But I think even the earliest efforts at kind of what I would call elementary level coaching are real positive. And we've got material both on the website as well as in some of what we can share. If you're interested, ask about what coaching is and what coaching isn't relative to a manager's role. So great question. Thank you, Teresa. Are there any other questions at this time?
Okay, I don't see any in questions submitted via email at this time. If you would like to have them answered offline, again, you can send them to Holly with a Y at coachtrainingalliance.com. And this concludes Coach Training Alliance's presentation on the role of coaching in 2014 planning. Thank you again for attending. And I will now close the conference. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.